Betty has to remind me a lot of times that we start service early. I actually haven't got used to it as of yet. So if I'm not careful, I'll run late on Sunday night. As I said, I'm thankful to get some things straightened out. And always grateful to share the word of the Lord with you. It was rich today, the things that we talked about at home. A lot of enthusiasm, a lot of concern. You know, and let me say this, that if you're planning to do anything for God, you really need to get started. It's growing late. It's getting later and later. And because of that, then you're running farther behind all the time. Farther behind and farther behind. You know, I'm going to say something here. I may not have time to really get into nothing much tonight. I don't ever know what kind of atmosphere we're going to have for a thing, but I'd like to introduce a thought anyway that you're real familiar with. In the book of Revelation, the first verse, the first line starts off here concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, and we talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so often I bring it back to your remembrance that I might remind you that when the revelation of Jesus Christ comes, that there is something that's happening. In every age where the revelation came, something happened. And you and I, we see this happening in our day, and we see the revelation coming forward. Now, the reason that something strange is taking place when this comes about is because there is no man living on the face of the earth that can bring you the revelation. That's not possible. It's not possible that there ever lived a man in the world that could bring you the revelation except the Lord Jesus Christ. The revelation has never been given to anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the Lord Jesus Christ to whoever. And so then when John received the revelation of Jesus Christ, it was the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him, Jesus Christ, to show unto his servants as he allowed the angels to help him with this situation. So then we know that the revelation of Jesus Christ has been given even as far back as Calvary. The Lord had brought this wonderful thing to light. And when the Lord rent the veil in twain, he was bringing the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we say the revelation of Jesus Christ, what do we mean the revelation of Jesus Christ? It means the Christ is thus revealed from within the human person of a human body called Jesus, that the veil has been rent in twain, and now the Christ has come forth. He hath now become a revelational spirit. He is now the revealed Christ. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, we look back at Calvary, and he says, as he preaches the gospel in his human body, he says, the veil was rent in twain, or this veil will be rent. And so then, looking all the way back to the foundation of the world, we find that this veil was rent in twain. And it was rent in twain before you and I ever came into the world. It was rent in twain before Calvary ever came, because it was rent in twain in the foreknowledge of God and manifested at Calvary. And this great wonderful light as the mystery of Christ that was from the foundation of the world came to view. And Jesus said, now is come light. Now is come light. What kind of light? The revelation of Jesus Christ. And through the church ages, we've been able to expound this wonderful gospel as the ministry coming all the way down from Calvary, that we might be able to share with you the understanding of God, that you might comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length of this wonderful revealed potentiality of God that was given through his foreknowledge
when the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, where he rent the veil within his mind to bring forth this wonderful knowledge of God to you in its due season at Calvary, beginning at Calvary, that it might be the mind of God revealed in you unto the uttermost, or the transformating of your mind to the great finale of God, which is the change, or that is the quickening of the human cells of your body. So then we see that the revelation of Jesus Christ is here in our day, but it was also in Paul's day, it was in John's day, and though we do not associate John's day with that day, yet it was in that day. It was in the early part of the church age that John saw this great revelation of Jesus Christ. But it went into the veil and no one could understand until God began to expound it and break it down according to its time and season. And even as far back as Daniel of old, there was something there within the veil that Daniel could not understand, but the great, wonderful Christ was present. For even in the Old Testament, Christ was present with them, and the great Spirit of God moved. And this great, wonderful Christ that was back there, though he was not seen as to the way that we would see him, but he was still back there. He's been ever since the world was. The Lord Jesus Christ has always been around. Even Abraham, when he was talking to the Pharisees and scribes, he said, Or that is Jesus rather, said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. He saw it. And Jesus saying, he saw my day, even Abraham, as Jesus talked to the scribes and Pharisees, Abraham saw my day. He rejoiced to see it. And then the question was, when did Abraham see your day? But under the oak of Mamre came the Lord. And he came with two angels. Just before he went down to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he came and conferenced with Abraham. So that we know that he's always been here and he's still here today. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So we know that the revelation of Jesus Christ is always present. But the thing is, though it is a revelation to you and I, it was a hidden mystery to Daniel. And it was a hidden mystery in the day of Abraham. And yet it was the same Christ within the veil that was in the veil that came after the 483 years that Daniel spoke of to be nailed to Calvary, that the veil might be rent in twain, that the light might break forth. And he could say, now is come the revelation of Jesus Christ, or now is come this marvelous light that you are looking for. Now, and the Lord of hosts shall suddenly come into his temple. It is said in the book of Malachi. He shall suddenly come to his temple, and he shall set as a refiner's fire, he shall purge the sons of Levi and make their offerings acceptable to God. And so then we find that this wonderful revelation that we are experiencing today has come to bring the end of the world. Someone would say, Brother Pike, why do you say that? Because the revelation of Jesus Christ is the end of the world. The revelation of Jesus Christ brings the end of the world. How then can you say, Brother Pike, that the revelation was as far back as Calvary? Because the writer stated, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And even though they could not see it, they could not grasp it, they did not understand it, yet it was still stated that it had come. Why would Peter or the great men of that day make such a statement? Peter had conference with Paul, and Paul had received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Being not I that liveth, Paul said, but Christ that liveth within me. And through the church ages, dimensionally unveiling this in a seven-dimensional unfolding, the revelation has come forth even unto your day. So we see that the world actually ended back at Calvary. And since that time, it has been the church ages. It has been a heavenly perspective. And then, of course, when we get into something like this, It takes so long to go into it, proportionally speaking, that it's very difficult for us to explain. And it makes it very hard to try to explain to you what we're saying, because we don't have the time to detail it like we'd like to. But nevertheless, in the few scattered remarks that we do make as to those that are enthusiastically listening and trying to ask the Spirit to reveal to them, we say these few little things. And that is that when Daniel spoke of 490 years, it had to do with the 483 that extended to Calvary, where Messiah was cut off. And when Messiah was cut off, it was that Daniel did not see from that time over to the last week of Daniel, which we refer to as the 7 years of tribulation, or the last week, in that we say a day to a year or a week of God. So the last week of Daniel, as to this week, when we think of the last week of Daniel, we say the 7 years tribulation, and I remind you that it is more than 7 years of tribulation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I remind you again that God reserved this 7 years for a purpose. This 7 years, it just didn't happen that 490 years took it to Calvary, and then at that time, suddenly God decided to pause and hold everything back and wait for a 2,000 years before he finished the prophecy of Daniel. It wasn't that, but for a purpose, Daniel's last week of the prophecy was held back. What then was the reason why? Now, we mentioned this a few nights ago, that the reason for this is because the Gentiles had to have a part in this. And if God had not held back the 7 years of the 490 years, there would have been no Gentile church, there would have been no bride, there would have been no you and me that could have got into the kingdom of God. And so then God was compelled to do this by blinding the Jews in part, taking 7 years away from the 490 and putting it 2,000 years away, to give 2,000 years to the church ages and the church, that the church might receive the benefits of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that the bride might be prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. And so he set aside the 7 years that he might have this as an earthly perspective, to put it with the 483 years of earthly perspective and bring it to a total of 490 years earthly perspective, that it might be the completion of his work in the world, and that would be the end of the world. So then the writers there at Calvary could tell this, and they realized that the end of the world had come, and there was nothing left but the 7 years, which was an earthly perspective to the Jewish people. And Peter and the others, being a spiritual Jew, understood this through the teachings of the Messiah. And with this thing coming as the last 7 years, though they did not thoroughly understand the way that you do, in that the light is brighter in your day, and Paul, even in his day, saying that I saw things that was not permissible for me to utter, even things as was being caught up into the third heaven, and these things at that time was as to one that was born out of season. And now then we see that Peter, knowing some of these things before Paul spoke of this, and we see the 7 years as a reservation by God for the Jewish people, that they might have 7 years to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. And whereas we have 7 church ages to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ as the many nations, they have 1 7 years to receive this through the direct approach of this thing by the Lord Jesus Christ himself sitting upon the throne, and the 12 leaders spiritually sitting upon the throne, and then the church spiritually coming to them and making this known to them through the tribulation period and bringing them into the millennium. So then we realize that this thing is something that God has done in a spiritual way to the Jews. And this thing is something that he hath hid And he's hid this within the heart of you and I to the spiritual Jew, and bringing it to the natural Jew in his allegorics by means of the spiritual Jew, or their patience, giving to the Jews the same opportunity by your patience and love and consideration that they give to you by their blindness and their willingness to become the scapegoat for you in the time of God's need for a sacrifice. So when we see the 7 years set aside, 2,000 years expires, and then the 7 years, all of a sudden we're back within the earthly perspective, and the earth comes back into view, and the heavenly perspective begins to fade away, and the open door from Calvary, as from the 483 extending to the 7, the open door is seen by John at the end of the church ages, and suddenly this open door closes. It closes, and there is no more open door to the Gentiles, but the days of the Gentiles are over, and we move to the middle of the week of Daniel's revelation of Jesus Christ, and find that when we move to the week, it is said, time no more. The time of the Gentiles thus is over, and the door is closed in heaven, and no one else can get in. John had beheld this as an open door, or as the scrolls of heaven rolled out. He saw this great, wonderful revelation. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and being a Jew naturally and being a Jew spiritually, he saw this revelation. He got both the natural and the spiritual. He saw it in the allegorics, and he saw it for the times of his people. And he saw it as Daniel saw it, but the difference was that God said to Daniel, seal it, and to John, see that you seal it not. For in Daniel's day, I remind you once again, it was not time for it, but in John's day, it says the time is at hand. With Daniel, he said the time is not yet, but with John, he said the time is at hand. And here we read it, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the time is at hand. Now, this is something that we really need to notice. When you say the time is at hand, then we say, well, then, Brother Pike, that means since the revelation has come, then the coming of the Lord must be at hand. All right, that's exactly what I'm saying. It is the coming of the Lord. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the coming of the Lord. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, how can that be? That's what we need to know. That's what we should have learned. That's what we should have been tutored and taught if we'd applied ourselves so that we could have received it. So then the revelation is the rapture of the church. The revelation is the change of the body. The revelation is the translation that takes the church out of the world. So someone would say, but how then, Brother Pike, could you say that the end of the world came at Calvary because the revelation came at Calvary? And someone would say, well, then, if the revelation came at Calvary, then the world would have ended at Calvary. And I say that the world did end at Calvary, and you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, as it was said to them in that day. So then someone would say, but I'm all confused. But why are you confused? Because you've not listened, because you've not applied yourself, because you've not allowed God to expound to you so that you would know and understand. For there is no confusion in God. So we know then that God has not given us the spirit of confusion, nor the spirit of error. But ye have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. And all things that my Father hath made known unto me, I've made known unto you. So then at Calvary, we see that the time was at hand because the revelation had come. And someone would say, well, where is their Bible for that? If you're going to found my faith upon the Word and the principles of God, where is my biblical foundation? Your biblical foundation, I could say many things about if we just had the time, beginning in the Old Testament and bring it right on up to the New. But we drop in a few little things here and there that you might tie them together, or the Spirit of God may bring them to your remembrance at the right time. But if you recall, it is said, concerning Calvary, that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman and made under the law. Therefore, it was the fullness of time, for the time was at hand, and the time of the promise drew near. And the time was at hand, and God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to gather all things into Christ, that He might end the world. For He said, this is as the waters of Noah to me. And in the days of Noah, it was the end of the world. Peter said, in the old world passed away. He boldly, when he stated that it was the end of the world, and the people upon whom the end of the world had come, he also continued to say, and as it was in the days of Noah. For he said, and the old world passed away with the flood. And he was trying to let them know that as it was in the days of Noah, so as it was when the fullness of time came. Because the ark of Noah had to do with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything was to be gathered into the ark because there was no way to preserve life except come through Noah into the ark. And he was the door that was opened in that day into that ark. And Jesus was that ark. That ark was typical of Jesus. That on this side of Calvary, there would be nothing left. The whole world has passed away, and nothing would be left except those things that had been gathered into the Lord Jesus Christ. Strangely enough, that when the 7 years tribulation come, there is something that happens. I wish that we had time to go into these things. But nevertheless, great is the mystery of godliness. So then we see that Noah had the ark. He took everything into the ark. And I said this, I don't have time to go into these things, to detail them, and it makes it difficult for me to go on with these things. But anyway, the questions arise in our minds. So many questions arise in our minds when we get to these places, and some accept very simply the things you say. Some are moving a little faster in the spirit, and questions arise in their mind, and some are probed by Satan like in such a way that they want to find fault anyway. So questions arise in their mind, and they scripturally come back in their minds contrary to what you're trying to tell them. But see, if we had the time, we could solve every doubt. But we just have to say what we have time to say at this moment. But anyway, we see then that the ark is there, the body of the Lord Jesus, the fullness of time. Now, as the first 2,000 years, water came and the world passed away. And Peter said, the old world passed away with water, because it had to do with the natural world. And the water life was the lifeline of that world that God created relating to the garden. But now we have another 2,000 years, a dispensation not of water, not of a bloodline of water or a lifeline of water, but a lifeline of blood or a bloodline of life. So then now life is not considered in the water at this time, but it was considered to be in the blood. And so now the world was going to pass away again. It had passed away when the water life came to be as it was. Now it was coming that the blood life was going to flood over an entirety of a human being, the same way that the water life flooded over the entirety of the object which it was made to flood over. That was a likeness of the human body. And so then the world was covered with water because it was natural. And now a human body is covered with blood, that is, not water, but blood. The Bible said he came by water and blood. But this is covered with the blood that it might show that all humanity is dead. All humanity has passed away. To cover one body means to cover all human bodies. And I kind of staggered stomach here because I'm trying to hurry along and get this in, and you're not synchronized enough for me to stay with you and you to stay with me, because I can't detail everything, and I have to take a few shortcuts. And when I do, it just kind of gets a little topsy-turvy. But if you'd concentrate more, it would be more direct to you and be less interference, and we could bring it with more direct approach, and you'd understand it better without the interference of your intellectual as to Satan taking advantage by means of the old tree of knowledge. And by your human reason, your carnal mind being enmity with the mind of Christ or the moving of the Spirit. Not being in the Spirit as John was on the Lord's day, you fail to get the revelation. And so then we see that as it was water upon one earth, though there's many bodies as to stars and planets, but upon one body came the water, that it might be that all of the world was destroyed as to this, and the old world passed away. And then there comes this upon one human body, because sin comes by one body, and life comes by one body. So then God, being one God, does things by means of one, and he brings blood, a blood covering, a blood bath, until it is called the vesture dipped in blood in Revelation 19 when they see it coming off of the mercy seat. It is one body, and it covers all human bodies, and the blood of the atonement that is yonder at the mercy seat, that in God's sight the whole world as to the world of human physics passed away, just like the geological side of it passed away with the water. Because the lifeline of that which is in the geological state of mind is a water life. And this one is in the world of human physics a blood life. And therefore these two worlds passed away. And so it meant that you are the people upon which the ends of the world have come. But inasmuch as this happened, we know then that water life and blood life has had its day and done its thing. But God, who creates the heavens, the earth, and the seas, and always moves in a Trinitarian fashion that he might baffle the people with Trinity doctrine and these things, that's allowing the trumpet to give an uncertain sound that they might not prepare themselves to the battle, the same God still hath made another covenant. And this covenant is not water, nor is this covenant blood. The blood life ended at Calvary. So then, the next life is an angelic life. It is a spiritual life. And this time it is not the purging of the earth as to the old water and the deluge past taking the world away, or the old blood life and it taking the human physics away. This time it is a life of angelic beings, an angelic force, and a lifeline of angelic, which is spirit, that is taking away heaven. And heaven passes away. For the Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away. Everything therein shall pass away. But my words shall not pass away. And now we've reached the place to where heaven is passing away. This time, the 2,000 years, which had to do with the church ages, is a heavenly perspective. And this time, heaven must pass away. And this time, the angelic host must pass away. For the lifeline of the angelic is spirit. And this time, this covenant of the spirit will end after the 2,000 years. And that will be the finishing of God's covenant. Or God's covenant is 3 in 1, to make you body, soul, and spirit blameless before God, as Paul said. And this we wish even you, in your righteousness to God, that you might be blameless, body, soul, and spirit. So we see that we're moving in the last episode. We're moving in the last phaseology of what God is doing. We're moving in the last stages of life. And that's why that we used at this morning such plainness of speech as coming to you in the way that we did, to try to bring it to you on a level of something natural that you can conceive of, because it is so difficult even now for me to speak to you as unto spirituals. Speaking to you as unto naturals, I have no problem. We can go right along and everything's as smooth as silk. But if I get into the spiritual things which you do not know and do not see and cannot understand, I've got to bring natural allegories for you to understand it. And in my heart, I already have it. And when I go to give it to you, I've got to go back and pick up the little pieces of the natural, put it all together and paint a picture for you that you look at all of that and then take you from that over here to the spiritual dimension and show you the invisible which you cannot see unless you have spiritual eyes to comprehend it. Do you think that you could get this over in 100,000 years? No, I could preach on it within the 100,000 years. But this is something that goes from eternity to eternity. Great is the mystery of godliness, and nobody's going to write it down, put it in their hip pocket, and run off with it so they can have a minister. This is something that you do not get and take with you. This is something that gets you and takes you with it. So it means that you transformate into this, and what this is not something that you get as somebody saying, I received the revelation. It is the mind of Christ within you that is the revelation. And unless Christ is in you, you have no hope of that glory, for he alone is made heir to that glory, and that glory is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you transformate in your mind from glory to glory, from faith to faith, inspiration to inspiration, as you listen to the voice of God through the ministry that is set there for the perfecting of your faith, to cause you to become eternal, that you might not die. When I say not might not die, I mean to the extent that they don't put you in a casket, that you don't sleep. Because it is not God's will for you to die. It is not God's will for you to be put in a casket. It is not God's will for you to sleep. And Paul said, I show you this mystery. We shall not all sleep. So it is a mystery, but we can comprehend it, then we don't have to sleep if we're in the times and seasons according to what he wants us to have. We have tried from time to time to expound a little bit of the revelation of Jesus Christ. I say again, this mystery that was hid from the foundation of the world and now is brought to light at Calvary, even immortality. Immortality means not being put in the coffin. This revelation, we are now in the last stages of it, which is the spiritual stages of it. So then, as God dealt with that as to the first stages of it, he dealt with that as to the second stages of it, and now he is dealing with that as to the third stages of it. But the second stages of it, as to the first stage and the second stage of it is not made applicable yet as to what it is going to be until the Jews come in. And when the Jews come in, that will complete that second dimensional projection of the blood age, and that pertains to the Gentile world. And then the judgments of that happened to Calvary or at Calvary will be upon the people. But until then, it will not happen to them, and nothing is going to go wrong as to God's judgment upon them as a complete devastation until the 7 years comes back to the 483 and the whole transition of the 490-year period that Daniel said was determined upon his people should come to pass. This means that this is your age and it's fast coming to an end. And when I say your age, I mean the age of the church, the revelation of Jesus Christ to the church and the church ages. There is no such thing as church ages. Only people write that there are church ages. But really, there is no such thing as church ages as to the biblical teachings. It is only a thing that the Bible expresses that when we put it together, the Bible calls it the churches, and we refer to it as the church ages to categorize it in a weekly sort to where you can understand some means and measure as to a formulated comprehending of what God did through the church ages. So when we put this together, we try to formulate it for your good. You cannot bring an unknown thing to somebody that does not know about an unknown thing unless there is a natural approach of a formulated thing to give them a mind with formula that they might make application to be able to discover as they search out the invisible of the unknown. Without that formula, they do not receive or conceive of the wonderful things of God. Well, in this, that makes it very difficult for preachers to come and try to preach the revelation when it takes hours, and it's Paul all night long, just to expound some of the revelation to the people. And we have a little 45 minutes, or if we're fortunate, we might get 2 hours, which would really seem like a phenomenal thing, and yet it would be as though it was nothing as to what is needed just to bring one message of the revelation of Jesus Christ and take the time that we might expound it in such a way that we would get it on tape, that others might hear it, or that we might get it to you otherwise. But you know, I said, as when I went into the gallery, the art gallery, I was not able to bring this out into the dark. I cannot bring this to you unless you can receive it. As I said before in the vision, I saw as this came out to the front of the seats, it would not get past. It would not quite get to the front of the seats on the bench. There was a resistance that hit it as a strong wind, and it went this way and this way. Though it issued forth from here and emanated from here and went out that way, when it got just about thus far as to the front of the seats and the benches, it went this way and that way, for the resistance of the audience kept it from going out there, or they could not receive of it. So you can understand the resistance I have up here in your human reasoning when I'm trying to tell you what little I am trying to tell you. And you that love the Lord and that's trying to receive this, try to realize the problems and difficulties that I have up here as I try to expound it to you when we try to get into the anointing and into the Spirit. Because all down through the years, ever since we've been here, it has been this way. All down through the years. It's not as though tonight, but it's been that way every time we've ever come up here. And on rare occasions, God would give us a little break to where your mind was just right and you hadn't beat yourself down through the day, or I would catch you fresh in the morning and we would bring a little bit of the revelation and we was able to get it on tape. But otherwise, it doesn't go out to the people. Jesus secretly talked to his children or his disciples and said, it's not given to them that are without to have this understanding, but unto you it is revealed. And it is the same way here. We have a little group here and there, and we bring just a little bit to them, just a little bit here and there. We do not stumble and stagger then as we do now, because we're not meeting the resistance, because the ones that don't want to hear leave. The ones that have no interest leave. But here in church, you sit because you feel like it's church and you must stay till church is dismissed. And so then we have everybody that comes in as to receive or to resist. And some are, as I say, on the football team just to run an interference. And the devil has some people to come to church for no other reasons than to run the interference to keep you from going over the goals for God. This again, as I say, makes it very difficult. My delight would be that we could get this on tape and we could get this out to the entire church world as to those that would like to have it. But we are not able to do that only in the sporadic manner that we do. We just spastically speak and then a little of it here and there is conceived by you or someone else, whoever it might be. But finding a place here to close of just a few scattered little remarks that I've made just to line up a few thoughts in a formulated way before we can really get a full expression, I'm going to close after that. But here we see that this is the third dimensional projection. What does this mean? It means that soon the 7 years will join itself back to the 483 of Daniel's prophecy. when this comes together with the 483, that will be the finishing of the earthly perspective, and the earth will come back into view. Heaven, the heavenly perspective, will pass away. And when it passes away, it means at that time that the church went out. Because you are the heavenly perspective, and you are the stars that stud the heaven of God, and the natural stars that studs the heavens are only an allegoric thing in the natural. And you are those that are the spiritual stars, just like in the second realm, there are the physical stars. There are the natural stars of the rock, as to the planets and of that which is out yonder, nickel and rock floating around, which are reflectors in the natural. And there are physical stars which are out in Hollywood. And there are spiritual stars which are in the heavens of God. There is the first heaven and the second heaven and the third heaven. And Paul spoke of being caught up into the third heaven. And so then, when we come to these stars, we see these stars shining so brightly. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works in this dark world and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And so then, when the church ages pass away, these stars will pass away. For there will be some stars that are spiritual reflectors, that are religious reflectors, that shall fall from the religious heavens as the blood comes off of the mercy seat. There will be no more blood life allowed in the presence of God, and Satan will not be able to come before God as he did in the days of Job by living in the human body and having the benefits of all the good things of God as the rain coming down upon the unjust. And so they will not be able to reflect the good things of God. And those stars will fall from heaven as the blood is taken away. Darkness will close in on them, which is an intellectual thing that takes away the light and the prince of darkness, even the powers of darkness that swallow them up, and the God of darkness and the prince of darkness shall take them over. But those that are the true stars shall shine as the brightness of the noonday forever and forever. These stars will vanish away, for the rapture will take them out of this world, take them out of sight, and the church ages will be closed, and the seven coming back to the 483, the door in heaven, will be closed. There won't be any more mercy, and it won't be heaven anymore. The earthly perspective will come back in, and those stars that fall will be in the darkness under the regime of Antichrist and the powers of evil of the satanic forces, as Satan himself is cast out and personifies himself to be able to rule in this world and to take over his kingdom. So then we see these stars that will vanish away. They will go away, so the light will be in the world no more. Heaven will pass away. Heaven and earth must pass away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We're speaking as to a spiritual dimension. Now, in saying this, not going to try to go much further than this, but in saying this, it means that we are in the last phase of this. In the last phase of this, and the ones that miss this will not have another chance. So, if you haven't made a commitment, you need to make a commitment. If you haven't gotten in to the things of God, you need to get into the things of God, for it's almost a finished product, and night is coming, and you are not saved yet. The daylight is almost gone, and the day is far spent, and the night is at hand. And the Bible said the darkness comes when no man can work. So then the works of God will not be worked during the time of this intellectual darkness, because Antichrist will not allow that. The 7 years will be coming back in the earthly perspective, and it will be for the Jews, and the church will be gone. So with the church going out, the door will close, and that will be the end of the heavenly perspective, the end of the spiritual lifeline, and the angelic heavens will have been purged, and we will go to rest with God, being caught up with Him, so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is the thing that we're trying to stress to you, that this is the urgency of the last hour. If you have not applied yourself, you need to apply yourself. If you waited to apply yourself until now, you've waited far too long. You should have applied yourself long ago. But nevertheless, just the little sprigs, the few little things and scattered remarks that we're trying to bring to you, we're trying to do it by pressing over your carnality, and it's almost an impossibility because your darkness, as the deepness of that darkness within you, how great is it? That darkness that emanates from you as to your intellectual is such a resistance toward this light. Light and darkness having no fellowship, God withdraws because thine iniquities as your intellectual reasoning of that darkness hath blinded you that you might not see this glorious light. But to you that love the Lord, this day star has sprang forth from within you, and it is breaking forth to you that are interested in the things of God that don't have the love of the world on the inside of you. If you have the love of the world in you, the love of the natural things of this world and the prestiges of this world and the educational system of this world and the money and vanity of this world and of your personalities and appearances and those things in your heart, then you missed it and you don't have it. For the world passed away, and all things were gathered into Christ at the proper time, and heaven came, and the earth passed away, and now the last perspective of it will be the 7 years as to the Jews, and it will join itself to the 483 to make a great finale at Calvary, or just past Calvary, to put it all together. And the seven will hurry over the 2,000-year span, and it will be right back as to yesteryear, as we say, over at Calvary. Right back as in the old country to the same place where Calvary was. And there, the whole thing will go into its great finale. Let's sing a little chorus together. The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have loaned or added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be discouraged, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. And with arms wide open, He will pardon you. For it is no secret what God can do. You know, it's no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for me and you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you and He'll pardon me. Let the wonder return. I will abundantly pardon him. So then we know that God will pardon us. If we do the thing that God tells us, He's always with us. He's a friend in the time of need. As the writer said, we don't have to fear. He's always there. We never walk alone.
We always feel at home because He's always with us. While we are singing these little choruses, then we give you a chance to come to the altar and rededicate your life to God, or ask the Lord to come into your heart and open up your heart and give you a hungering and a thirsting for spiritual things. Folks, this natural world is passing away. You're going to spend your life for the vanities of this world. And you're going to give your labor to the vanities of this world. And you're going to heap together treasures against your soul for the last day. And then when you get it all together and have spent your life for worldly goods, then all of a sudden you're going to die, or they're going to put you in a hole, and everything that you labored for, someone else is going to have. And all that you could have labored for as to have in the way of heavenly treasures, in that you did not lay up treasures in heaven, you don't have anything. It goes to another. And all of your talents will be taken away from you. And the good life that you now have will go to another, because you wanted to spend your time in carnality and in the natural and have a carnal mind when you knew that it was contrary to God, and you wanted the natural things of this world, and because of that, you lost the blessings of God. Folks, don't do that. Don't do that. While we raise our hands together for just a few moments around the altar, the Bible teaches that we should search our hearts, examine ourselves, see if we're in the faith. Can this be true? Is this true? If it isn't true, it shouldn't make any sense to you. But to you that it does make sense to, it's very true. Your spirit will bear witness that though it is true, I've not fully gone on with God, and Lord, help me to go on with God, for it is true. And this is the last phaseology of it, and this is the last opportunity, and this time it is the covenant to the church, not to the world. It is not to the world as to the geological perspective. It is not to the world as to what you have seen down through the years when it comes to the human anatomy side of life. But this is to the church, the angelics, for you are an angelic being on the inside. Though you give your time completely to your bodily perspective, the despised and wretched one that God has smitten at Calvary, that which He hates, your image of corruption. And you give your time to that and your devotion to that. But that's only the cocoon. That's only the shell, as the embalmer says. And after a while, He's going to shell you out. And you are not going to be in the little old shell anymore. And the embalmer is going to plant you. And if you are a good seed, you're going to come forth as to reproduction, because the life one day is going to break forth in that little body, coming to pick it up, and there's going to be a harvest. And the Bible said, lest the seed fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it will bring forth much fruit. And unless you can deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ, and give yourself to the inter-angelic man, you're not going to make it, folks. For though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day, the writer said. And if you're not following after this, then you'll not have the benefits of God.
And who knows when God will call you? Who knows when God will call me? He could call you before he calls me. He could call me before he calls you. Someone would say, but I'm younger, Brother Pike. I know. But there's a lot of people that was here at Bethlehem that was younger, but they're dead and they're gone. And some of the older people are still living and going strong. So it depends on what you've got your mind on as to whether God's going to let you live longer or whether you're going to live your days half out. For the wicked shall not live their days half out. What is the wicked? They that think carnality. They that have a carnal mind. They that have carnal desires are wicked. They are contrary to God. And they cannot please God because they're in the flesh and the love of the world and the things of the world and all of their devotion and all of their time is spent as to their human security, of which they must have to be able to pay their funeral expense. And so they labor fervently. That way, there's plenty to pay the funeral expense when they go to bury them. For that's all that it's good for. And all the rest of the labor is for your belly and your mouth because it craves it of you. The serpent being on his belly is the old generation of vipers that has to do with the first man, Adam, and that human body that Jesus condemned at Calvary when the world of human physics passed away. And today, they that are angelic, they that are spiritual beings, Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, you that's in this little tabernacle, one of these days, you're going to put it off. And you that are angelic, that dwell in this little tabernacle, that are spiritual, and your mind on heavenly things, you are fellowshipping angelic beings, and you have heavenly treasure within your earthen vessel. And little flock, it is thy Father's good pleasure that you have this kingdom that he's placed within you, that you might have the abundance of his life filled up and overflowing. While we're standing here together, not to detain you tonight or to hold you a long time, let's just lift our hands up together, close our eyes as we sing this little chorus. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give him glory, all ye people, for his blood that's washed away every stain. Once again, the singing. I